I am excited to be here today. Wanted us to begin this part of our service with this hymn, because I don't know if your day, your week, or your life is like mine. First of all, it seems that from the moment I wake up to the second that I go to bed, there is something to do and it doesn't stop. And then come all the problems and the challenges, some of them worse and more difficult than others. But I want us to remember, at least throughout this time together, that we have a God that is bigger than our problems. Amen? He is our mighty fortress. And He asks us to trust in Him. And the last verse of the last psalm says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." So I would like to know, is there somebody here this morning that is not breathing? Would you raise your hand? What that means is that every single person here, not just those that are participating from up front, but all of us ought to praise the Lord. Are you ready to do that? We want to also take time to dwell upon God's goodness. And this song reminds us of the peace, the joy, the relief that we can have from the activities and the problems that we face in life when we come and spend time with the Lord. Be still, my soul. Praise the Lord. I would like us to reference our scripture reading and analyze it this morning. It's a very simple passage, but I think one that has an important lesson that I want to share with you. We heard the story about the famine and how they were hungry. And they were about to eat the stew, but it was poison, and the man of God said to put some flour in there, and all of a sudden everything was okay. Everybody could eat it. A few years ago, I was invited to go to New Jersey to do some concerts. And like most weekends, I have a number of concerts. So I was in one church in the morning. I was going to be somewhere else in the evening. And oftentimes, I have a bit of travel to make from one place to the next. Today, not that way. It's been an easy morning so far. Just run up to the CVC church and play there and come back here. But sometimes I travel 3-4 hours to get from one morning church to the evening church. This particular weekend, I had an hour's drive. So it wasn't bad. After the service concluded, I gathered my things and I went to the next place. It wasn't a church, it was a Christian conference center. I had been invited to do a special concert as part of their concert series. And so I got there. It was close to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I went to the administrative office. They gave me the key to a guest room. And I went there, laid down, relaxed, rested, and got ready. At 5:25, I went over to the cafeteria to eat supper. And then at 6:25, I got in my rental car to drive over to the auditorium so that I could meet with the audio and video engineers to go over the program that was going to begin at 7:30. But as I was about to insert the key into the ignition, I had a terrible thought that went through my head all of a sudden. Where's my violin? I had brought everything with me from the morning service except the violin. I had forgotten it in the front pew of the church. And in a panic, I picked up my mobile phone and I rang the pastor of the church on his mobile phone. I had talked to him just a few hours before to let him know I'm on my way to church, verify the address, so forth. But this time, he didn't answer. Well, I had the home number, so I rang there. No response. The last number I had was the number of the church, and when I called the church, nobody picked up. And now my mind began to race. Because the first question I asked myself was, what am I going to do? I can't sing. I thought to myself, imagine all these people that are paying for their tickets. How are they going to feel when the person introducing me gets up there and says, "Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to tonight's concert. The violinist is here, but without his violin." The meal that I had eaten began to churn and turn in my stomach. And I remember literally starting to perspire and shake out of fear. And then I stopped and said, wait a minute. If God has helped me before, why can't I ask Him to help me again? And so I said a brief prayer. The prayer went like this: Lord, You know what's going on. If there's something You can do to help me get my violin back, please make it quick. Well, there wasn't a lot of time, you know. I needed the Lord to come through right away. And I stood there for a few moments thinking. And then I thought, wait a minute. I just talked to somebody. On my way into church that morning, there was a lady that I recognized. Her husband had pastored a church in Oregon years before. They had invited me. We recognized each other. We began to talk. She gave me their information, address, email, phone number. And so I looked for the little piece of paper that was in the passenger seat of the car. And I rang her. And she answered. And when she answered, she had barely said hello. And I said, Lillian, it's Jamie George and I'm desperate. She said, well, what's going on? And I explained to her the situation. She said, well, let me just talk to my husband real quick. So she put the phone down, talked to her husband, came back and said, Jamie, don't worry. My husband has a key to the church. If you tell us how to get to where you are, we're going to go to the church, pick up the violin, and bring it to you. Hey, and I said, oh, hallelujah, Lord. Thank You so much. It was about 6:40. So I made my way to the auditorium to talk to the engineers who were there waiting for me. I burned the CD with all of the accompaniment tracks. I gave the DVD to the video engineer. I stood up on the stage. I talked into the microphone, 1, 2, 3, testing. They played the music through the monitors, through the house. We went over the cues, the flow, the signals, all of those details. And then I said, gentlemen, we're ready to go. And one of them looks at me and he says, well, Jamie, why don't you play the violin in front of the microphone so we can hear it and equalize it? I said, why? Because I can tell that you guys are so professional that I don't need to take my violin out until it's time to start. They must have liked that answer because they didn't say anything else. And so I went to get the rest of the things ready. At 7:23, my mobile phone rang. It was Lillian. I expected her to say, we're just around the corner, we're almost there. Instead, my mouth dropped when she said, Jamie, we had a couple of delays and glitches, and we are just now leaving the church. And I thought, how do I delay this somehow? Well, I went up to the gentleman that was the leader of that conference center, and I said, Pastor, would you excuse me? I need to go to the bathroom. And while I was there, I washed my face, I blew my nose, I tried to delay. But I found out later that gentleman was of German descent. So at 7:30, right on the dot, he went up on stage and started the concert. He had a welcome, announcements, he introduced me, and then there was prayer. You know how much time I bought? 7 minutes. At 7:37, I went up on that stage. And there were a few hundred people in the audience, and they all looked at me with the same inquisitive look. Where is your violin? And I opened my mouth, not knowing what to say, and this is what came out. I know that you folks are here for a concert tonight, but before I play the violin for you, I feel impressed to talk to you. So I started to talk. And I talked, and I talked, and I talked. In fact, I spoke for 43 minutes without stopping. And I shared my entire life story. I preached every sermon I knew. And in the back of my head, as I looked at the time, I would pray, Lord, please send Lillian. Well, now it was 8:20. I was down to my last story. I couldn't think of anything else to tell these people. When all of a sudden, a door opened up in the back of the auditorium, and in walked Lillian with my violin case. And she came to the front row, and she set that case down and tiptoed to the back. And when I saw my violin case there, I was so relieved and elated that I stopped in the middle of the story and I said, you know, I'll finish the story later, but right now I feel impressed that I should play the violin for you. I took out my violin. I played song after song after song. I hardly even said a word the rest of the night. I don't even know if I finished the story. When I went to greet people in the back, everybody was excited. They thought, what a wonderful program. All the testimony first and then all the music later. And then a gentleman approached the table and he speaks loudly. He says, Brother Jamie, I noticed that at a specific point in the concert, somebody came in and brought you your violin. And at that moment, I held my breath because I thought, this guy probably figured it out and he's about to tell half the people that were here tonight. But then what he said absolutely shocked and amazed me. He said, Brother Jamie, ever since I saw that, I've been wondering, does Jamie George have an assistant that carries his violin for him wherever he goes? As I left her that night, can you imagine my excitement, my joy, my relief? I was praising the Lord in the car for 10 or 15 minutes out loud. But you know, something happened. As time went by, all of a sudden I became angry and bitter with myself. Because I remember saying, how could I do something so irresponsible, so absent-minded and forgetful and unprofessional as to leave my violin somewhere? And then you know what happened? I began to think of so many things that I have done that don't make any sense, that are wrong, that are incorrect, that are offensive to other people. And then all of a sudden that joy was gone and I got really, really discouraged. How can I be such an idiot? I said to myself. Then all of a sudden I remembered this story, the story of the pot of stew. There was a famine in the land, so you can imagine that there wasn't a whole lot to eat and people didn't have a lot of excess body weight. People were thin, they were hungry, and all they could make that day was a pot of stew. They all gathered around that pot of stew to eat it, but before they fed it, somebody said, you know what, let me try this thing, and when they did, they realized it was poison. Let me ask you a simple question. If you and I would have been sitting around that pot of stew, what would you have done with that stew? Throw it out, right? Carry the thing and just dump it out. Start all over again. But let me suggest something to you this morning. You and I represent that pot of stew. But God doesn't do to us what we often do to each other. Haven't you ever heard, oh, stay away from that person. They're really sinful. They're really rotten. They're really messed up. They're a bad influence. Don't get near them. We tend to throw people out. But God doesn't. We may come to Him broken, messed up, poisoned because of sin, but He says, I have a plan for your life. And He adds His special ingredient, the Holy Spirit. I went to medical school for nearly 2 years, and it was a long time ago, and I don't remember much, but I do remember that flour cannot neutralize any poison. You know what happened that day? A miracle took place when those people believed. And it's all about God, not about us. When we believe that God can transform our lives and take away our sin and change our desires, guess what happens? We go from being poisoned and messed up to being wholesome the way God wants us to be. So it doesn't matter where you are today, God can make a change in your heart. And He needs to make a change in my heart as well. And the theme, the title of our message for today is, if God can use me. If He can use me the way that I have been and the things that I do and the things that I have done, then certainly He can use you or anybody else. But there's something that we need to do. And that is, allow God to be in control of our lives. And this hymn is an invitation to do exactly that. I surrender all. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to the last song in our program, which will include a video But before we begin to close our service this morning, I want to thank the Piedmont Seventh-day Adventist Church for the opportunity and the privilege of being here today. I want to thank your pastors, as well as Vanessa, who we've been in contact with frequently over the last few weeks to work out all of the details. This is my first time ever being in this church, and it's been a privilege to meet with and talk to some very, very friendly people. And I am excited to see a friendly church, because as Christians, we have a lot to be happy about. Because we know the end of the story, don't we? Yes, the road may not be easy, but we know what's waiting for us at the very end. And I just want to say that I love Pastor Andy's accent. I'll tell you, he's a good mite. I just love that British accent, and I'm looking forward to returning to England and sharing in a number of churches there. It's one of the things I love about what I do. You see, music is the international language. After I go to London, I'm going to go to Paris, and from there I go to Brussels and Germany. Now, in England, I'll fend for myself because they'll understand what I say, even though I have an American accent. But when I get to all the other places, guess what? I need a translator so that what I say in English could be understood in these languages. But when I play the violin, the translator sits down because everybody can understand the language of music. And one of the things I love about what I do as I travel around is that I get to meet people, make friends, and see my friends. And one of the things that I hate about what I do is that I have to say goodbye. But when we say goodbye, when we get to heaven, we're not going to have to say goodbye ever again, by the grace of God. And this closing song reminds us of the fact that we're here because of God's amazing grace. Because of His grace, His Son came to die for you and me. And because of that, we have the gift of salvation. And this closing song is from a concert we did a few months ago, as Pastor Andy mentioned, to celebrate and begin celebrating 25 years of music ministry. I live in the Chattanooga area. We had the program there. We invited an orchestra, a choir, a band to come and share. And then I wanted to invite some of my friends and the people I've either worked with or wanted to for many years to come and be a part of it. And so some of these musicians came to do duets and sing and play and so forth. Have you ever heard of the name Michael Card? He wrote that beautiful song El Shaddai and dozens of other great, great Christian songs. He was there. You're going to see him sing in a moment. Have you heard of the name Kirk Whalum? You may not have heard that name, but you will this next name. You've heard of the name Whitney Houston, right? Kirk Whalum was Whitney Houston's sax player. He's probably the best gospel sax player in the world, in my opinion. But Kirk is a Christian. In fact, he's a pastor. And he would study the Bible and pray with Whitney when they were on the road doing concerts together. And if you ever heard the song, I Will Always Love You, the sax solo in that song is Mr. Kirk Whalum. He came to celebrate with us. And have you heard of the name Larnell Harris? He was also there with us. And you've probably heard Jennifer LaMountain. Well, we had this great concert, and we finished the concert with Amazing Grace because we wanted to remember that it is really all about what Christ has done and can do in our hearts and in our lives. And my desire in being here today is that if there's somebody that doesn't know the Lord, that you will be excited and drawn to Jesus Christ. And if you already know Him, that you would like to seek a closer relationship with Him. A few years ago, I visited Cuba for the first time since my family left in 1980. In fact, it had been 20 years. When my family left Cuba, we were not allowed to go back. The government would not let us. The scholarship that the government offered me, when I turned it down, the guy said to me, "It doesn't matter. You're never going to be a good violinist anyway." And so every time I would apply for a visa to go to Cuba, they would reject and deny that visa. And sometimes there would be a little note saying, "We don't want you to come back." But the Lord began to open the doors, and the persecution went away. And even though there are restrictions and there are problems in Cuba, you can preach the gospel publicly. And I've been involved over the last 13 years in sponsoring the Lord's work in Cuba by purchasing tens of thousands of Bibles, buying Bible lessons, printing them, sponsoring lay pastors and so forth. But I remember going there and talking to a lady that I knew because I had grown up in a city and I had some friends. And I remember that in 1987, 7 years after my family arrived in this country from Cuba, I received a letter in the mail from a friend of mine. And he said, "Jamie, I have no clothes to wear to go to church." When I lived in Cuba, each person was allowed to purchase one pair of pants per year, one pair of shoes every 2 years. This is by law. They gave you a booklet that said how many pounds of rice and beans you could purchase every month. And if you ran out, tough luck. And when my family left, things began to get worse. And I thought about how many suits I had in my closet that I could wear to go to church in a blessed country like the United States of America. And I decided I'm going to buy my friend a brand new suit with shirt, tie, socks, shoes, everything. Put that letter on top of my desk. And you know how it goes. You have a to-do pile and an important things to-do pile, and then you pile other things on top of that. And I did. And time went by. And I forgot about that letter. And one day I came home from school, and my mother said, "Jamie, do you remember your friend Roy?" And I said, "Yes." She said, "As I was leaving to go to work today, the phone rang. It was his mother calling to tell me that he was killed in an auto accident last night. And I went downstairs to my room, and I began to look for that letter. And I found it, and I took it out, and I read it. And as I read the letter, I wept, because I felt so guilty and so sad that the one request my friend had made, I had not honored. And when I went to Cuba in 2001 for the very first time, I found his mother, and I went to talk to her. And I said, "Can you tell me what happened, if you can?" And she said, "He called me one night and said, 'Mom, our family is struggling. Nobody has a job. We need to put food on the table. Nobody seems to be able to find work here, so I'm going to go to another city to find work. I don't know how long I'm going to be gone. I don't know if I'm coming back. But I want you to know something, Mother. If something happens to me, I'm ready to meet Jesus.'" That night, he got on a bus that was traveling from that city to the other end of the island. The roads are horrible. The driver fell asleep at 3 o'clock in the morning and veered off the road, went into a ditch. The bus rolled, and my friend was killed instantly. And I remember that as she was describing these things to me, I couldn't help but cry. But I noticed that she was smiling. So I waited for her to finish. And then I said, "Can you please tell me how it is that you're smiling as you're telling me this story?" And she said, "It's very simple, Jamie. I know that I'm going to see my son again soon. And I've decided what I'm going to do when I get to heaven. I'm going to find my friend, and I'm going to give him a hug, and I will ask him to forgive me. I know that on that day, he will forgive me, because on that day, he's going to be wearing the best suit that anybody could ever wear. He's going to be wearing the robe of righteousness that Jesus gives to each one of his children. And I want to hear those words, 'Well done, good and faithful servant,' more than anything else. And I want that to be your desire as well. If you don't know Jesus today, would you give your heart to him? Make him the Lord of your life. Make him in control of your entire day, of your entire week. And if you already know him, may I challenge you to leave this place not just feeling perhaps encouraged, blessed, inspired, but burdened to use whatever talents and abilities God has given you to share the love of Jesus with others. As you leave here today in the lobby of the church, there will be a table. And if you support this ministry, there are two ways that you can do so. On that table, there will be a number of our CDs, a book which is an autobiography, and 3 DVDs. You can take them home with you on the honor system. What does that mean? For those who may be visiting a Seventh-day Adventist church for the very first time, first of all, welcome. You're the flowers that adorn this sanctuary. Number 2, Seventh-day Adventists keep the Sabbath from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. And the aim is to spend these hours in communion with God and in fellowship with one another. So when you go to the table, there's no exchanging of money or talk about money. There's a little form there. It has all of the information you need. You provide on the left side of the form your name, your address. You mark if you're taking a CD or a DVD or a book or all of whatever it is. You take them with you along with the right side of the form. You leave the left side with us. The right side of the form has our phone number, our email, our address, so that after the sun sets, you can take care of it. It's called the honor system because it's between you and the Lord whether you follow through or not. Now, I understand the sun sets at 7:37 today. My suggestion is that at 7:38, you follow through. Amen?
Amen?
I don't need to say anything else, do I? And last year, after 13 years of working with another organization to bring hundreds of thousands of dollars to the people of Cuba to be able to preach the gospel there, the Lord called me to open a charitable foundation called Healing Music. Because I realized how powerful music is. There are people that tell me I would not go to a church to listen to a sermon, but I was invited to come to a concert, and God has worked in my life, and I've given my heart to Him today. Music is a great way to touch people's lives. And we want to be able to put on these concerts around the world or continue to do so, as we've done for the last 25 years, in places where they can't afford to buy CDs. We want to use music as a way to reach people for Christ and continue the work that we're doing in Cuba. And if the Lord impresses you to support this ministry, I would just simply say that make sure that you're first being faithful to the Lord in your tithes and offerings. Make sure that the needs of your church are met so that this church can be a beacon of light in your community. We can't be a light unto the world and a darkness in our own backyard. So if you're already being faithful to the Lord and the Lord impresses you to make a contribution, it is tax deductible. As I start playing this last song, Amazing Grace, you're going to receive a little envelope that says Healing Music. And if the Lord indicates that you should do so, then you make your contribution there and turn it in, and then the church will have that sent to us. May the Lord bless you, and may you leave this place with a desire to serve Him like never before because of God's amazing grace.
Amen. Amen. Will you bow your heads with me for the benediction? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for Jamie being here with us today, for being a part of our worship service and leading us to the very throne of grace. Lord Jesus, a violin in my hands would be a very dreadful thing, but a violin in Jamie's hands is a wonderful instrument used to glorify you. Help us, Lord, as we leave this place to know that because of your Son, because of Jesus and His love, His life, His death and resurrection, we have grace. And because of your grace, Lord, we can put our lives into your hands, and our lives can be instruments used by you to minister to others. Our lives can be used by you to make a difference in our community, to make a difference in our world. Lord, I ask that you'll bless Jamie's ministry as he leaves here. But I ask, Lord, that you will use each and every one of us that we might make a difference because of you, because of your grace. May we share that love and grace everywhere we go. For we pray this in Jesus' name. And all those willing to be used by you, dear Lord, said, Amen. God bless you, everyone. Have a wonderful day and a happy Sabbath.